Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, this is Nathan Kress on Stardish Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Bob Guinea, and you're listening to Stardish Radio. Let's dish, baby!
Hi, I'm Joe Manganiello, and you're listening to Stardish Radio.
This is Jill Larson on Stardish Radio. Tune in and stay tuned. You never know who will drop by.
Hi, this is Aidan Turner on Stardish Radio.
Welcome back to another edition of Stardish Radio. I'm your host, Joanne Kubasek. Today is May 22nd, 2013. Welcome back, everybody. So much stuff is going on in the news. I just want to touch on the tornadoes in Oklahoma. Prayers and thoughts go out to everyone who is reeling in this unbelievable, devastating, just freak of nature. It's so sad. I don't even know where to begin with that. But it's just my thoughts and prayers to everybody. Secondly, you can donate to the Red Cross to help them out in Oklahoma. And it's not just a local thing. Your money gets put to good use. I know a lot of people are a little sketchy about donating to charities via PayPal, online, or whatever. Just because you're not physically dropping it off doesn't mean it's not going to where it needs to be. So take a minute, go to redcross.com and donate to the Red Cross to help out these people in Oklahoma. So let's get started here a little bit. My guest tonight, his name is Philip Anthony Rodriguez, and he'll be joining us very shortly. He started out in daytime TV, which most actors do. He played in The City, which was a spinoff to Loving on ABC back in 1996. He's done a lot of things since then. Most recently, he played Reuben on The Secret Life of an American Teenager. So we'll talk to him about that. Few other things he's got going on in the air. He's coming up on an episode of Burn Notice, so we'll talk to him about that as well. Let's see here. Excuse me. So, All My Children, One Life to Live on the internet now. I know it's reeling in everybody's brains, and I'm dying to know what a lot of you think about it. Last week, Jill Larson was on, or 2 weeks ago. We had Jill Larson on, and we talked to her about it, and so far, so good, I think. You know, they were number one on iTunes and number one on Hulu.com, so I think that it's an amazing thing. I'm going to pick up the phone here. I have a feeling I know who this person is. Area code 773.
Oh, my speaking with? Joanne, how are you? Please tell
Hi,
me how
Rita.
You are.
I'm great. How are you?
Well, nice to hear your voice.
Well, thank you. Very good to hear you as well. How are you?
Well, I've been concerned about all the things that are happening in the towns, and when something was happening in New York, I was concerned about you.
Oh, Rita, thank you. Yeah, that was...
You know, I love you.
I know. I'm so glad that you had called in to know that there was a show going on. So listen to me. Before my guest calls in, let me ask you, what are your thoughts now on daytime on the internet?
Well, I'm still computer illiterate, and I still have a faceless computer, and I don't know who's going to keep me up, but I am glad it's back on the air.
Right. So you haven't been able to watch any of them?
No. My computer is totally faceless. It doesn't even have the monitor hooked up. And I've been thinking of this thing that they had for $10 a year, $6.99, and it the internet, and then it put it on the TV. I wouldn't know how to hook it up, though. I've been hoping to get something like that, but I don't know. I think I would still have to know how to use the log into the computer, though.
Yeah, you would. Well, might
I suggest... Who's playing Todd? Who's playing Todd now?
Roger Howes.
No,
and,
he was playing it for the
St.
first
John.
4 weeks. Did they
right.
bring back Victor? Did they reveal...
Yes.
They didn't reveal him. They did?
Yes, they did.
How
they
did they
certainly
approach
did.
Him being alive? How did they bring that back?
Well, you know what? It's a little difficult to explain. I would have to go back and look at it over again myself. That was like 3 weeks ago. But he is back, and I'm going to place you on hold, Rita, because my guest is calling in, Philip Anthony Rodriguez. So we're going to bring him on the air. So hold on, okay?
And he was on Loving.
And the city, that's right. So we're going to get him on, okay?
He was on the city?
Yes, so hold on.
Cool.
Welcome to the show, Philip.
Well, hello. How are you, Joanne?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm great. Much better now that I'm talking with you.
Oh, well, you know, you flatterer. You know, somebody like you that likes to flatter people like that with eyes like that, that'll just get you anywhere with me, okay?
Oh, my gosh, you're so sweet.
So, Philip, let's start from the beginning.
Yes.
Where are you from? How did you get into acting?
Okay, I thought you meant the very beginning, like what my birth weight was, what hospital
well, we
I was born in.
Listen, you can go that far back if you want, hey.
I don't think you have that much time. I'm originally from New York. I was actually born in Brooklyn, New York, which is where I was born and raised.
Nice.
And I lived there most of my life, got all my schooling there. And it's only been, the last 11 or so years that I've moved out to the West Coast and been more of a permanent resident here. But, I do get to New York quite a bit for either work or to visit friends and family.
Right. And I hear that you must have had a dialect coach because you don't got the Brooklyn accent.
You know, I'm always asked that or told that. It's like, well, where's the accent? It's funny because I personally don't think I never really had one to begin with. I have taken speech classes, but that's basically just to sort of like improve my overall speech, not to have a real regionalism. But, I say, if you want me to say coffee, I'll talk. You know, we'll talk Brooklyn style. We'll go to whole nine yards.
There we go. Well, I'm a Yonkers girl. I'm not a Brooklyn girl, but I'm a Yonkers girl. So I got it. You know, Denise, and there's an actress, Denise Vassing. She played on All My Children for a long time. And she plays in, I'm drawing a blank right now, Single Ladies on VH1. And she's from Brooklyn. She's from Brooklyn, and she went through that whole dialect thing to get rid of her accent. I was so aggravated when she told me that. I was like, oh, my God.
Never comes up.
Me.
Never is an issue. Well, you know, a lot of it has to do with the fact that you don't really want those regionalisms. I mean, it's good to have them. Some people can totally have them, get away with them, and be fantastic. Like, you've got the Pacinos and De Niros of the world that
yeah.
they have a distinctive regionalism regardless of what role they do. They could be doing Shakespeare and it'll still be like, what light through yonder window breaks? You know, it is the East and Juliet is the sun.
Exactly.
So it's very, but I feel it opens me up to more opportunities and I do a lot of voiceover work. So it almost behooves me to be able to differentiate from one type of voice to another, or one regional accent to another. So, you know, it varies. It depends on the job.
Sure. I mean, I'm just busting you. I love my New York accent, and everybody tells me all the time.
I do, too.
I live in Buffalo now, you know, and people in Buffalo talk like they're from either Canada or Wisconsin. They've got, like, very strange accents here.
Yeah, I know. I've been to Buffalo, and I feel like I'm in Minnesota.
You know, and they
or Chicago.
Me all the time. In my office, I'm sit with these two girls from Buffalo, and they every time I say if I say coffee, they'll say coffee. They try and imitate me as we talk, and it's like an all day occurrence. And it's like, listen, it's getting kind of old. So then I start talking like them. And then it's not so funny anymore.
True.
Yeah, so they all look kind of funny up here, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
All right, so,
yes.
So let's see. Okay, let's go back to the city. I mean, I barely remember 1996. I mean, God, I think my son was only like 3 years old at that time. I'm not sure that I even watched that much of the soap.
It's okay, Joanna. It was a blur to me, too.
You know? So let me ask you, being that you started in daytime, daytime is a hot button right now because of All My Children and One Life to Live being canceled 2 years ago and then Prospect Park pulling them back out from under and throwing them on the internet. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I think it's a great thing because it shows that there's still an audience out there for it. You know, daytime dramas have historically had to change with the times. It's evolved, but basically it's been the same formula. And it appeals to a certain audience, and that audience is really never going to go away. It's clear that when they switched over to the internet world, that there's an audience for it. But it also tells you that it shows how much entertainment in general is evolving or changing. Some people will look at it for the worst in terms of like the fact that ABC let these daytime dramas go, and some people just say, well, it's just a sign of the times. What they're doing is just going with the flow and evolving with the way entertainment these days is evolving. Because you look at just everything in general, you can watch so many things on the internet. You've got full-on networks, and you've got like these things like Hulu where people watch full shows and they get subscription things. So it's just a sign of the times, and I think overall it's good. And then from a work perspective, it's still good because it keeps our actors and our crew people working, and that's a good thing too. So I don't really look at it as a negative. It's just evolving with the way entertainment in this day and age, with the computer age and mass media, evolving with the time. So it's a good thing.
I think what impressed me the most about it was the fact that a lot of the veterans off of those soaps went back, knowing full well it wasn't going to be on a broadcast network television station and that it was only going to be on Hulu and iTunes. You know, and their first week, they were number one on Hulu and iTunes. And they're still, if I'm not mistaken, they're still number one on Hulu and iTunes as far as downloads and watched shows. But I think that's probably what impressed me the most, because the love that these actors have for daytime. You know, they were willing to do it because they knew the fans, you know, would always be there for them.
Exactly. And that's ultimately, no matter how you look at it, whether you're looking at, you know, primetime television or movies, it's the fans. It's the fans that support and keep the actors and the celebrities going. And that's really what it's all about, too. You know, it's appealing to a certain audience. And I got my start in daytime drama, and it is an absolute plus in my professional career as an actor. I mean, I consider working on daytime drama being like working in front of a camera 101, because that's really where you get that experience in terms of how to work in front of a camera, how to stand in your spot and really deliver a line or deliver a scene. And it was invaluable. It was an invaluable experience for me. It gave me my start on the small screen and then also the big screen. And and you can't knock that. There's just such an importance to it that I will never forget how important that was in my career and in my life.
Right.
And it was fun. It was a lot of fun. I mean, you really have that feeling of, like, you know, kind of doing that theater approach to television, because you know, on any given day you'd be doing 20, 25 to 30 pages a day, whereas they don't do anywhere near that much on episodic television or movies. You might be doing like a couple of scenes during the day and then that's it. And then you do you go another day and then you do a couple of scenes and then that's it. You know, I used to consider doing soap operas and daytime drama like shotgun TV making. You know, it's very quick, it's very powerful, it's boom, 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 right off the bat, let's get it done. One page after another, one scene after another, one take, good, okay, we got everything, moving on, let's go, next scene.
Right.
Very touch and go.
Now, and you were just recently on a show that had one of those cult followings, and I believe is coming to an end in the next 2 weeks or so, The Secret Life of an American Teenager. I mean,
yeah.
That show's been on for a while, and they're so passionate about that show. And, I mean, I was reading some of the tweets about it today, and they get so into those characters. Now, I've interviewed the young lady that played your daughter, Francia, a while ago.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
She's such a doll. What did
yeah.
you like about working with her?
Well, because we actually had that kind of relationship. I mean, on
mm-hmm.
set, first of all, we got along great, which definitely helps in going to work on a regular basis. It's a lot
mm-hmm.
better when you get along with your cast members. But since I work with her almost exclusively, you definitely
right.
have to get along. And we had, it was almost like a father-son older brother kid sister relationship. I mean, first of all, she's the utmost professional. She's a young girl with a tremendous future ahead of her. But
right.
even at her young age, she has a real good sense of professionalism and a good
mm-hmm.
work ethic, and she's fun to be around on set. And she's got a good attitude about the business, which is very refreshing in this day and age. You know, sometimes you don't really. Sometimes people can be a little bit unsavory when they get on set. You know, they kind of pop
mm-hmm.
the diva attitude. Not so with Francia. She's a good person with a good heart, and it was great working with her.
Right.
Like I said, we just had a great relationship because what we did in the show as father and daughter actually translated into into real life. And it's interesting because
mm-hmm.
I was much more honor in terms of my character. Like I'm a very hard-edged dad, very strict, and
right.
That's sort of the way I dictated my behavior towards her. And it's the complete opposite in real life. Like it was much a lot looser, and you know, we'd talk about things, and she would confide in me about things, and I thought that was great. And it was just indicative of the kind of relationship and the friendship we had. So that was great.
Now, do you stay in contact with a lot of the people that you used to work with? I mean, did you ever bump into people that you worked with from the city, and you know? Do you keep those relationships going?
Occasionally I do. You know, I have a very sort of like intermittent relationship with Catherine Hickland, who was
a
cast member of mine. I know,
yes.
She's a sweetheart.
She's
and we're
darling.
Actually like friends. We're friends on things like Facebook and stuff, so we
yeah.
communicate
mm-hmm.
from time to time and check in on each other. The same thing with other TV series I was on. Like I used to be on a TV series called Jake 2.0, and that was one of the
mm-hmm.
the best relationships that I've had in terms of having friends who felt like family members in the cast.
Mm.
But I still stay
mm-hmm.
in touch with Keegan Connor Tracy on the show, who's doing very well. She's in the Bates Motel TV series on A&E with
nice.
Christopher Gorham. It's just great to be able to say you can do that. It's difficult because when you're in our line of work, our schedules tend to be a little bit busy, and we don't purposely
mm-hmm.
avoid each other. It's just sometimes it's very
right.
difficult to make time for your friends beyond working on set and
sure.
getting together for dinner or something. But, you know, we do try to stay in touch, and we're always very supportive of each other whenever projects come up that we'd like to talk about.
Right. Well, yeah. Kat Hicklin is a very dear, dear friend to me. And she, how do you like the fact that she's a hypnotist now? Does that not, like, blow your mind?
It totally blows my mind.
I mean, I want her to
hypnotize me. I know. She has yet to do it with me. I'm really curious to see if it'll ever work on me or whether she's going to be, you know, savvy enough to make me think that I'm like a dog and have me bark like crazy in front of my friends and family or something like that.
I'm wanting to do that myself. I keep watching to see where her fares are going to be. And I'm like, get over here to Erie County or somewhere close so I can come
yeah.
up on stage and you can do that with me.
I'm
going
to put
them.
Her to the test. I'm gonna see if she can, you know, just hypnotize me and help me think that
well,
I'm the King of England or something.
Catherine you said that, so, yeah.
yeah, she's going to call me on it now. I'm going to get a message of her saying, so I heard that some certain
oh, yeah.
person was willing to get hypnotized. But she's a sweetheart, and actually we had a great time on the city. I mean, you know Catherine, she's got a tremendous sense of humor. She's very funny in terms of being a very beautiful person inside and out. And mm-hmm. and we had a tremendous time on set. And again, that was a great experience on many levels, because even though it was a daytime soap opera, it was a spin-off of Loving. Actually, it was still Loving. It was just new location, new name,
right,
and a different look for the show. They really tried to reinvent the whole soap opera genre with giving it this sort of like cinematic
gritty
look.
Feel it was too.
Very
yeah,
gritty
I remember.
Feel.
Vaguely,
yeah.
You know, like scenes with Darnell Williams, and
mm-hmm.
yeah, I remember certain things. You know, it's
yeah.
like, oh my God, I can't even find clips of that stuff on YouTube anymore. But
oh, you totally
yeah.
can. I've seen it before. I've had people
oh,
sort
really?
Of like say, hey,
oh.
guess what I found? They'll
oh,
send me a
wow.
link to
yeah.
YouTube,
yeah, I'm
and
that.
I'll go, oh my gosh, look at me with hair and a beard and all that stuff.
That's
pretty
awesome.
Funny. To watch that stuff, but yeah, it was going to reinvent daytime as we know it, and it was they gave it the old Harvard try. It was extremely ambitious, but I think at the time, you know, the networks weren't really ready for that, and they tried to, you know, make it go as quickly as it could, and you know, even though the characters were still popular with the fans, I think it, you know, might have been a combination of things, like maybe the expense of keeping up that type of production, and
mm-hmm.
and I just think people were just used to the good old standard video look on camera, on their TV screen.
Right.
So, but who knows?
Right.
We'll never know now. But it was still great yep. fun, and again, a wonderful experience.
Is that something that you would do? Would you do the internet soap? Would you do Hulu?
I think if the right opportunity came up, I probably would.
Yeah.
You know, I like to go where the work is. I think it's good to know that I'm fortunate enough to be able to work in different aspects of entertainment. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I've done theater. I've got my start in theater. I've been on Broadway. I've gotten to do films. I've gotten to do primetime television. I've been on TV
mm-hmm.
series, things like that. So I never say never. And I think if
right.
the right opportunity came up for something like that, I certainly would knock it. Absolutely, I think you know, it's not one of these never go back situations. You know,
right.
I go where the work is. I enjoy doing what I do, and I'm all about the character and what type of character I'm portraying. And if it's something that really interests me, I'll go do theater or a TV show in Kalamazoo, Michigan. I don't care anywhere. If I feel it really is something that excites me and you know, for lack of a better way of describing it, stirs my soul, you know, because I think a lot of actors like myself really, really long for that, to really do projects that interest us. And I've run
sure.
the gamut. I mean, I've done some really, really challenging stuff. So
right.
it's nice to know that that you always have those options open.
Right. Now, I see that you're going to be on an episode of one of my other favorite shows coming up for Burn Notice. What are you doing on Burn
yeah.
Notice?
Yeah, well, Burn Notice, without giving too much away, I've played this bad guy who used to be a good guy. He used to be a military intelligence guy who gets shacked
mm-hmm.
up with a sort of very bad negative element. But I play a real bad dude. I mean, like in a good way, bad dude. I love playing a bad guy, and I definitely love to do like action movies and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I live for that stuff. And the cool thing about this is that I actually got to do a lot of fun stuff, like not actual stunts, but I got to do some sort of like hardcore action car driving and got to shoot some guns and things like that. So that's always a lot of fun. I always live for that kind of stuff. But,
what's the name of your character on the show?
My character's name is Pablo. I'll
okay.
leave it at that. And
so you know
I can
how
tell you
when,
that.
You know how when they show on the show, when they're introducing the people, you know, when Michael's starting to talk and they're going to go meet the bad guy. So are we going
right.
to see that underneath you, Pablo, the bad guy?
Oh, yeah. You see me a lot.
You know how they
and,
do that?
Oh, totally. And then the cool thing is that it's kind of hard to tell because the way they have me dress and the way, the, you know, my facial expressions, like if I'm not sneering or or have this like mean look on my face, if that doesn't give it away, then the outfits and the paraphernalia I have definitely will give it away. It's like, I'm guessing this guy's not a priest.
Okay, all right, I'm loving that. Very good.
But, yeah, I'm a pretty bad dude in this one, so it's going to be great. Yeah, the episode is airing on June 6th, and it's called New Deal. And it's part of the new season. I'm really looking forward to it. And the cool thing about it is that it's part of a couple of a series of episodes of a continuing storyline. So for the fans of the show, they're going to love it because it's going to have, like, this serial ending kind of thing on each episode, and you're really going to try to find out what's going to go on with the characters. So they definitely keep your interest up, and it's not one of these things where it ends after one episode. It's going to continue, and it's kind of like a cliffhanger kind of thing. So it's definitely a lot of fun.
I'm happy to hear as a fan, definitely.
For sure, yeah.
Now, talk to me about this. Now, I've never watched this. BET's Real Husbands of Hollywood. Talk to me about this.
Well, it's interesting, you know, because I vaguely heard about the show, and they consider it a reality series, but in reality, to forgive the pun, it's sort of like a single camera half hour comedy, like a sitcom, but it's shot as a reality series. So they kind of combine those two worlds. It's sort of like the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills meets The Office. Or something like that. Yeah. It's really crazy. It stars Kevin Hart, and it focuses on the lives of real celebrity Hollywood husbands and what they go through. So you've got actors like Kevin Hart and Dwayne Martin and Boris Kodjoe playing themselves in the show. Even Robin Thicke, the singer, the R&B singer, has made a couple of appearances in the episodes of the show. And it's their take on the whole reality show genre of, like, The Real Housewives, but it's from the real husband's perspective. So it's really wacky. It's really a lot of fun. It's hilarious, and they really do a nice way of kind of, like, poking fun at themselves and the whole reality show genre, but they do it in, like, a sitcom fashion and a single camera thing. So in stark contrast to what I'm doing in Burn Notice, in this particular show, I am playing the complete opposite role of what I play in Burn Notice or what I generally do. You know, I play like cops and lawyers and stuff. This time I get to play like this ultimate party planner, an event planner for the stars. And let's just say that Mr. Eloquence is a very flamboyant, over-the-top character who's sort of based on Kevin Lee. I don't know if you know who Kevin Lee is. He's sort of like this big old party planner or event planner to the stars. And he has a sort of like a light air about him.
Okay.
If you get my drift.
I get what you're saying. I'm going to have, when does the new season start?
The new season starts, let me see. It's actually going to be, I think it starts this summer because they just finished production. In fact, I was in the last three episodes of the season finale. So it'll definitely be airing, sometime this summer.
Well, we'll have to look out for that.
We'll definitely have to look at it, but just, we could just tell the fans that all they have to do is go to BET Network or BET.com, and it'll have all the information there as to when the new season starts and when to look for it. And the cool thing is that if you actually go to the website, they do a lot of sort of on-set interviews with the characters and with the cast members. And I was interviewed quite a few times as my character, so it's pretty funny stuff.
If you go
in there, you should be able to find links about it. And
I
haven't gotten a chance to see it because it hasn't been posted yet, but I can tell you right now that some of the stuff I did was pretty crazy. So that'll be something fun that the fans can check out, and they just go to the BET website and look it all up.
We'll be looking for that. Okay,
yeah.
So congratulations are in order. I hear you're getting married in July.
I am this July, and as you are no doubt aware, we are in the home stretch here. So, you know, these next few months are going to be all about dotting our I's and crossing our T's and making sure that all our planning, all our hard work and planning is going to come to a good fruition come July. And needless
nice.
To say, I'm really looking forward to it. I've got an amazing fiance that I cannot wait to officially call wife, and it's just going to be great. We've had such a wonderful life together so far, and it's definitely a bright future that we're looking forward to. So I'm really psyched about it. But thank you.
Great.
Thank you for the congratulations. Yes.
Oh, no. Listen, I've never been married, so I envy people that walk down the aisle. I like watching them. I don't think I'd ever do it, but I like watching the wedding.
Uh-huh.
So,
right.
Yeah, did you have a wedding planner like Mr. Eloquence?
Actually, no. My fiance Cindy is pretty much like we kind of both are doing it, but look, she kind of lives for this sort of thing. So honestly, she took the reins up, and boy, did she just floor everybody with just the planning. And she very much knows what she wants. And when you know what you want, when you know what you're doing, it's a heck of a lot easier to plan a wedding. So and when you really look at the big picture, once you get all your main venues, first of all, you have to get a venue. You got a venue. That's you're golden right there. That's 50% of the problem right there.
Right.
And then there's other things like getting a DJ or whatever entertainment you're going to have, you know, whether you're going to cater it and things like that. But she lives for this kind of thing, and I basically just kind of stood and watched and just said, oh, okay, I'll just come along for the ride.
Listen, I'll be there at the altar, babe. You do the rest.
Right.
Take care
now,
of it. I do.
Exactly. But we will have a day of coordinator, because that's one thing that we won't be handling. You know, the whole idea for the wedding coordinator is to just say, you guys sit back, enjoy the show, enjoy the ride. I'm here to make sure that everything runs smoothly, and that's what you want, you know, on the day,
on
the magic day. So, and the person that we got is fantastic. She's going to be great. And we had a phone interview with her, and we talked to her for about 5 minutes before we realized this was our girl. it didn't take long.
That's always a good sign when you could find out within a few minutes of the conversation. You know whether you like the person or not, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
All right. Now, I understand also that you're a big foodie.
Oh, my God, yeah. Yeah, and sometimes it's a blessing and a curse. Because,
okay. What's
you know, I'm sorry?
Favorite food.
My favorite food? I would have to say Asian-based cuisine. And
really?
I'm a foodie, so basically as a foodie, you pretty much like everything. You like everything from French cuisine to Italian to Middle Eastern cuisine to Asian cuisine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, continental cuisine, whatever. I like good food. So much so that I actually took cooking classes a few years back, sort of like a tier just below actually going to like a good chef school, like Cordon Bleu or something like that.
Really?
But basically so you can do at-home cooking and do it better and do it with a little panache and stuff. So that's what I live for, and that's how much of a foodie I am. We split the cooking duties, my fiance and I, but somehow I end up doing most of the dinner at home dishes, and I love it, and it's fantastic. I really get a kick out of it. But I would probably have to say Asian cuisine, because at any given moment, you know, I could never get tired of going to Japanese restaurant. I love sushi. Mm-hmm. We love going to get sushi here almost a few times a week. Love Chinese cuisine. My fiance is Indonesian, so she's introduced me to that sort of cuisine, which is absolutely out of this world fantastic. If you like Thai cuisine with a little bit of you know, Filipino cuisine thrown in there, then you'll like Indonesian cuisine and Chinese. It's a mishmash of different things, and it's extremely, extremely good. So,
boring. I'm jealous.
Yeah. You got to expand your horizons, Joanne. You got to do it.
I'm telling you. Listen, I thought that I was the bomb growing up because I ate all the Spanish food that my best friend's mother made me all these years. And I thought I became like the queen of cuisine, that I can come to Buffalo and say, oh, let me make you some rice and beans, and I can make you this. And they're like, really, you can? I was like, yeah, I can do that. You know, I can do all that stuff, but I could never pull off anything other than,
You know, if it's not Polish food or Spanish food, I can't do it. I really can't.
Hey, Polish food is not bad either. Bad too. But you know, I'm Latino. My parents are from Puerto Rico, and you would think
mm-hmm.
that I would probably, being a Latino, gravitate automatically towards Latin cuisine or Mexican or Cuban cuisine or Puerto Rican food.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so. I mean, I love it. I grew up with that. I mean,
sure.
Rice and beans, it's like a staple for a Puerto Rican family. It's like
exactly.
It's on the table almost every night, unless mom decided to cook some pasta on any given day. But,
but
it was almost
pasta,
like a staple.
Came rice.
Exactly.
I mean, my best friend growing up is Puerto Rican, and from the time we were 14. I remember being at her kitchen table. No matter what it was always rice.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't. There was eggs and rice for breakfast. There was. It did not matter. We had
rice
soup. Every meal. Everything.
Yeah.
So
right.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say, you know, between Polish, Spanish, and I left out Italian. Those are the three things that my family eats.
Yeah.
You know,
oh,
my
I know.
Oldest son, he'll eat anything. You put anything in front of him, and he'll eat it. I mean, no matter what region it's from. My youngest, yeah, no. If it's not chicken, don't give it to him. He won't touch it.
And that's,
I don't know where you came
good.
From, kid.
That's good that your oldest son has, yeah, because I'll tell you, it's weird that I'm actually a foodie because I was such a pain in the butt when I was a kid. I mean, all I wanted to eat when I was a kid, up until I was about 9 years old or 10 years old, was peanut butter and jelly. That's all I wanted to eat, peanut butter and jelly and cereal. And, you know, occasionally, and, you know, you have to understand that when I grew up as a kid, this was pre, like, you know, chicken fingers and stuff like,
mm-hmm.
like that. Like what,
right, right.
What
well,
younger,
yeah.
you know, what a lot of parents feed their kids, it's like, oh, you know, keep it easier. What kid doesn't like chicken fingers and fries that come in a
of
prepackaged
course.
Thing? But, yeah,
exactly.
I was real finicky. So it's almost a miracle that I'm actually as interesting in terms of my cuisine choices as I am now.
Well, that's what I pray for my 12-year-old, because that kid don't eat nothing but chicken. I disguise things and say, hey, yeah, that's chicken. Eat it. And it's
yeah,
like, oh,
you gotta
that's
do
good
it.
Chicken,
you gotta,
Mom.
You got to fake them out.
Yeah, that's good chicken. I like that chicken. I said, yeah, I'm glad because it's a steak. All right. sure. But I have to say, I think my favorite Spanish dish of all time was and I'll probably mess up the spelling of it, was pollo guisado, the chicken stew.
Pollo guisado,
Oh,
stewed chicken.
My God.
Oh, yeah, that's yummy.
And
that's really yummy stuff. And
my best
you know, the good
mom,
thing is...
She's 90 now, and she still makes it. And it's like,
oh
my God. Every time I go to Florida, it's like, yeah, give it to me. Please, make it.
Right. And it's crazy because it's probably one of the easiest things to make. But that's definitely
mm-hmm.
one of those mom specialty recipes of that she can whip up, but, you know, makes it with a whole lot of TLC. So you always like your mom's pollo guisado, you know, and it's so good because it's got so many good ingredients and it's yummy. You know, you can have it like on a day where you're not feeling so hot on a cold wintry day. And if you
mm-hmm.
got the sniffles, definitely great to have a nice, you know, plate of pollo guisado, and it's the cure for what ails you, and it feels good in your tummy.
Ain't that the truth? Well,
right.
Listen, I'm telling you, I'm so glad Carolyn reached out to me to have you on the show because I am enjoying my time with you.
Oh, I'm enjoying my time too.
What else is coming up for you besides what we're looking at, Burn Notice and...
Well, you pretty much named them right there.
Okay.
I've been working on a series, and like I said, my secret identity life is doing my voiceover work, and a good bulk
mm-hmm.
of that is a lot of video games. Now, I can tell you about some of the projects, but basically, after I tell you, I'd have to make you disappear, and I don't want
oh,
that
Lord.
To happen. I don't want you to end up in some dark alley,
okay.
never
well, no,
to be
we
heard
don't
from
want
again.
That.
But yeah, I mean, it's I've been working on a lot of video games which are upcoming, which is also a lot of fun to do because I'm sure you've heard that whenever you do any kind of voiceover work, whether it's you know for an animated film
mm-hmm.
or just for a commercial, it's great. You can just roll out of bed and you can do it in your pajamas if you want.
Sure.
Which people have done.
Oh, I'm sure they have.
Other than that, it's that you pretty much named my upcoming projects. You did your homework. I think that's great.
Well, good. I can't wait to see them. So I definitely am a fan of yours, and definitely a fan of the things that you've got coming up. So I just hope that we get to see more. I mean, you got to concentrate the next couple of months, wedding stuff. Where are you guys going on your honeymoon?
We're going to the southern part of Italy, and
we're
so looking forward to it. We can't wait. It's going to be great. We're hoping it won't be too hot because it'll be the middle of the summer. But it's our honeymoon, so we're going to have a fantastic time, and we're really looking forward to it. And I can't wait.
Well, the food I'm sure is going to be amazing. I'm sure you'll be doing a lot of research.
Well, the honeymoon planning kind of revolved around how we would eat. It's like, we got to go someplace where the food's going to be good. Okay, Italy. We can't go wrong there.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
Yeah, we're really excited about it.
Well, let me ask you a question before I let you go. As an actor, who is the one person out there right now that you want to do a project with?
Oh, God, there's so many. I mean, right now don't say who?
Don't say Meryl Streep. That's like everybody's go-to answer.
Well, I would, because she's actually one of my favorite actresses ever.
Oh, God.
No, but honestly, if I were to say all time, I would have to say De Niro, Robert De Niro, for sure. And I know that's a cliche. I know a million and one people say that. But I know people who have worked with him. And they say it's beyond like a treat working with this guy. And he's in so many of my favorite movies that, you know, once you see him in his element, once you not only gravitate to him as an actor, but the projects that he does, it's a no-brainer. You say, I would love to work with Robert De Niro. That's hands down, like, my dream actor to work with. And interestingly
totally
enough, as like in a, yeah, and in a related thing, because he works with them a lot, I would love to work on a Scorsese project because I love Scorsese stuff. So there you go. So sorry if that wasn't very original, but I got to tell it like it is. De Niro's my man.
and you know what? He's mine too. He would be a go-to for anybody. And Meryl Streep was just like every female that I've ever interviewed, I think, gave Meryl Streep as their favorite. And it's like, oh, my God, pick somebody else, please, please, please. I want to hear somebody else. But, I mean, she's
so
amazing, so I guess you can't really, you know, knock it.
Yeah, and it's crazy because it's so funny that you mentioned Meryl Streep, because just recently I was channel surfing late at night and Sophie's Choice was on. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen that movie. I'm pretty sure she won the Oscar for that. And I tell you, you watch this movie, it's from back in like the 80s or something like that, and it's like, you've got to be kidding me with this performance. It is just off the charts good. So, it was kind of nice watching that again, but you're flabbergasted as to how good she is. And then you realize when you see that performance, how she's been able to be consistent and solid after great performance, after great performance, after great performance, right to the present day. So, no brainer there either.
I don't think I've ever seen her anything that she was bad.
No,
you know,
me neither.
Nothing.
She's definitely one of those I can read the phone book type actors, and it'll be amazing.
Now, two of your icons, did you ever see their movie Falling in Love?
I did. I did a long time ago, and, you know, I liked it. But it's just one of those movies that I liked it. I enjoyed it at the time, but, you know, don't ask me to start quoting from it or anything like that.
No. I'm just saying it because they're the two. It's like, oh, that just pops in my head. I love that movie. I mean, it was filmed in like Yonkers area, whatever. I remember when that was done years and years ago. But, the two of them together on screen, you just can't go wrong. The both of them are truly the best at what they do. So I can see why you would want to do that. And that's okay that you went in on that. That's all right. So, very good. Listen, Philip, I am so happy that you were able to call in tonight, and I want you to come back anytime when you got some stuff going on, you want to talk about. I want to hear about the food in Italy.
My pleasure. Yeah, I, I'll give you a breakdown of everything that went down in the wedding and the honeymoon, and hopefully by then I will have a rash of projects, new projects to announce to you as well, and it'd be my pleasure to talk
Definitely.
To you about it and talk to the fans about it. Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. And
All
thank
right,
you.
Well,
thank you for looking
you know,
me up as well.
Oh, definitely. You go enjoy your night, and everyone else, I'll let you know when our next show is, facebook.com, Stardish Radio. Look it up. That's where you'll find out who the next person is going to be on a show. So, Ben, everyone have a great night. Good night, Philip. Thanks for calling
Good
in.
Good night, Duane. Take care. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Philip Anthony Rodriguez, everybody. Thank you so much. What a friggin' doll he is. How about that? You couldn't ask for a more humble guest. Wow. Love it. Loving every minute of it. So, anyway, facebook.com/StardishRadio. That's where you will find out who the next guest is going to be. It'll, as soon as I know, you'll know. Okay? Everyone, thanks again for tuning in, and have a good night.